Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
Around 9:45, it'll be another opportunity for you to score a pair of tickets to Politics and Pints, which is just 5 days away. It's coming up Tuesday, May 6th out in Phoenixville. We'll be at the Colonial Theater and then pre-gaming before at the Great American Pub in Phoenixville. And I would assume that those two places are pretty close to each other, so you should be able to mosey on down the road, right?
Within walking distance. Everything in Phoenixville on that street there is within walking distance. So good times, man. Yep. Good times.
Cut sheets coming up 7:45. Kamala took the stage last night, which, by the way, did you guys know this? That she. So I think I saw the prices: $250 for some sort of general admission. Then there's a higher price for like a VIP package. But did you know that you could actually stream this and watch it on your device, but it was $25 to stream it live?
Oh, for crying out loud.
Really?
It was $25.
She did a pay-per-view.
She did, it was a Kamala pay-per-view.
That
it's
is
like fans only.
Yeah. OnlyFans. That's a great that's a great point, Arn.
Kamala, did you
Kamala's OnlyFans.
Did people actually purchase this?
They did.
Maybe we'd maybe I need to reach out to Kamala and see if she wants to come on tomorrow.
Should we start charging $5 a month to watch us on YouTube? I mean, if Kamala can get $25 for a word salad, I mean, what can we get for 4 hours of greatness?
I know.
I mean, seriously.
I know.
All right.
We're doing this all wrong, guys.
We are.
Yeah.
We're not greedy enough.
We give you all this great content for free.
Yeah. You know, I thought some of those speaking engagements that go for three. Remember Nikki Haley was doing them for, what was it, 400 grand?
Yep.
You could get Nikki to fly in.
Yep.
Kamala's charging $25 from pay-per-view.
Yep.
That's amazing. I'd actually pay to watch her, like, you know, make a dinner and have a conversation with Dougie over a bottle of wine.
Is it some sort of, like, does it go to some sort of charity or something like that?
I don't know. I saw the screenshot on TV. They gave the prices. It was basically the cost of admission or the cost to stream it live. It was on yesterday on the Bill Hemmer, Dana Perino block. I guess that was in the 9 o'clock hour. I saw that. $25. I can't. Why in the blue hell would anybody pay to watch that? I don't even want. I mean, I get paid to talk about her, and it's painful enough. I couldn't imagine forking over cash to watch her. All right, let's get to the news. Round number two at 7:07, the great Dawn Stensland.
Good morning, Kale and Company News Live on this Thursday, first day of May. We are sponsored by Joseph Anthony Retreat Spa and Salon. We're nearing 60 degrees, but heating up to nearly 80 degrees today, summer-like day. We have a drive-by shooting in Philadelphia's Parkside section, injuring a man and a woman. They survived the gunfire that erupted on 43rd Street, right near Pensgrove Street, and it happened just in the 11 p.m. to midnight hour. 54-year-old woman shot in her shoulder. She's hospitalized, and she's listed this morning in stable condition. And a 38-year-old man, he was struck in his abdomen. He's in critical condition this morning, so we don't have, police say they don't have any suspects in custody, and I still don't have word of any arrest, by the way, from all of the shootings that we especially had over the weekend. There were, what, 8 over the weekend? So a lot of shootings this week, those numbers going up, and I don't have a reason why, but I also don't see any arrests in these numbers of shootings. This one was a drive-by. The good thing is police say that a real-time crime camera shows the gunfire came from a gray Dodge Durango, and it had one headlight out. So they are checking other cameras, but they do have at least that one. So they're asking people, please call the tip line 215-686-TIPS. That's the Crime Stoppers line, because they don't have any suspects, and they don't have anybody, obviously, in custody, under arrest, nothing like that.
You started off the 6 o'clock news with a teacher school story.
Yes,
Jimmy Kelly. County. Jimmy Kelly was very disappointed, saying we didn't start out the show with a story of a shooting in Philly. Yeah. Well, ask and ye shall receive, Jimbo. Round number two.
Unfortunately.
Shootings.
So we have that one going on. There's another story about a notary public, Gwendolyn Schell, facing these felony charges in Philadelphia, charged with stealing homes, not just one house, but many homes. And so this is the DA's office, Philadelphia DA Larry Krasner announcing this. I know he held a news conference, but this is a 67-year-old notary public, Gwendolyn Schell, who is facing very serious felony charges, like I say, because they say that she, and this is unusual in the sense that generally speaking, when I do these stories, we hear that a notary public is the one who often will tip off the authorities and say, something's going on with such and such. Somebody forged my signature. Mm-hmm. I did not, you know, like a family, someone will pass away and they think they're getting grandma's house. What happened here? And so normally you have a notary public going to authorities saying that somebody forged their signature or forged their numbers and their documentation.
Well, if you can't afford a home these days, just steal one.
Jeez. In this case, though, this particular individual is and co-conspirators, they're charged with transferring nearly two dozen properties by forging the names of people who had died and then making it look like this happened previous to their deaths, maybe elderly people, they owned homes. But then they were trying to trick all of the you know, other living family members who were supposed to inherit this, trick them and deceive them about the deed transfers.
Okay.
So you're looking at dozens of homes over. So this is quite a big scam over a large area of Philadelphia. That was a big arrest and a large investigation that happened. So that was a very unusual one that we're talking about this morning. A heads up, a traffic heads up. I know we talked about this earlier this morning, but I can't say this strongly enough because we do have a Phillies game. We won yesterday 7-2. Phils play this evening, Citizens Bank Park. Be a gorgeous evening for it by the time you get there. Mm. The problem is we have this Bernie Sanders rally that's taking place in the shadow of City Hall. So all around City Hall, down Broad Street, they're going to start these road closures. Actually, 3:30 this afternoon, everything's going to be shut down, and they're expecting all these protesters. Now, I don't know if AOC is supposed to be here today, because usually Sanders and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez show up together.
Yeah.
And they get quite large crowds.
Yeah, Bernie and his great-granddaughter.
So, but also if you're in the suburbs, I mean, I said earlier with these closures and with all of the, this is happening across the country, the so-called May Day, May 1st, all of these protests.
You said Montgomery County as well,
yeah,
right?
Two spots, because at Montgomery County, we're going to have right around the Penn State campus, that's Abington.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then also in Ardmore, we're going to see them.
Okay.
So we have them, you know, across the region, South Jersey, and across the country.
Just don't come to Bluebell, Bernie. We're full. No vacancies.
Yeah, nothing in Bluebell.
Good.
You're right.
Stay away.
Good point.
I've got to get my girls to dance. I don't have time for your nonsense.
But so we're going to have a lot of traffic going on. So we want to warn you on that one as well. What was another story that I didn't do earlier? Duh, now I can't find it. I will say this, that we have, there might be a tiny chance for a spotty, T-storm, a spotty, you know, some spotty showers this evening. That's not going to interfere with the Phillies game, but we do need the rain, especially for Greg Stocker. So I was looking at that.
And my free seed.
And his free seed.
From Natural Lawn of America.
From Natural Lawn of America.
What if the rain cloud just hovered above Bernie and it was raining?
It'd be great.
And everywhere he walked, the rain followed him.
Or will he, when he addresses the crowd, will he speak the right way?
Mm.
Or will he stand in front of the podium like he did in the clip we played yesterday?
Oh, and you know what I wanted to headline? Just a quick headline. Closing arguments continuing today. This is the Maurice Hill trial. Mm. Prosecution, you know, they gave their closing arguments yesterday saying that there is zero chance that Mr. Hill was unaware that these were police officers who he was shooting at. He shot and he shot six, but certainly shot at many others. It was an all day situation, a lockdown in the neighborhood. It happened August of 2019, 6 years ago. And so we expect that this will go to the jury before the end of this week.
So we're maybe verdict by Friday, if not early next week.
Yeah, you know what?
Right?
I think if the jury gets it this evening.
Oh, tonight. Well,
if the jury would get it this evening, there's always that psychological piece where do you really want to deliberate all weekend? Do you want to be stuck inside or do you want to hold it over till Monday?
Right.
So that's like, that's a good point that you make psychologically.
If I was a juror and they handed me the it's now time to deliberate and it's like 2 o'clock on a Friday, you're going to have my vote by 2:05 on a Friday. There's no way I'm going into the weekend. Civics and civic duty be damned.
Yeah, so
especially when this guy's basically dead man walking.
Yeah.
This is going to be a guilty verdict. I would be floored if it's not.
We will see. By the way, today is our National Day of Prayer, and I see the White House released President Trump's agenda, 11 a.m. He will participate in this National Day of Prayer event, Rose Garden. So that's going on. And then he gets his briefing at noon, his intelligence briefing at noon. And I will say there are other activities throughout the day. But he's actually headed this evening. The president arrives Tuscaloosa National Airport. Is there an Alabama? He's heading.
Trump and Nick Saban will be together on the stage for the University of Alabama commencement.
That's what it, okay, thank yeah. you. Because I'm right. looking at his schedule. So yep. he's 6:35 p.m. He arrives at the Coleman Coliseum,
yep.
University of Alabama.
Yeah, ESPN actively looking for an out to get rid of Saban and all the money they owe him for being on stage with Trump.
I love it. So another busy day for President Donald J. Trump. We got that going on. And then the Phils, I said, 1-7-2 playing tonight. And then we also have, obviously, we've talked a lot about the situation of the Phillies Nationals. One of their coaches, unfortunately, pregame, he had collapsed. And so a lot of concern and prayers for him, as we're not getting a lot of news about his condition update or his recovery from collapsing yesterday. So that one's going on. And then we do have a man from the Pittsburgh situation falling off that wall that we talked about early, still in critical condition. So he's clinging to life. That's what we're hearing.
Oh, just brutal. Right over that balcony. What did you say earlier in the first round? Maybe 20 feet or so?
Yeah,
21 feet.
Over 20, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, hey, look, you probably survive that if you go down and land on your hip or you break a leg.
Phil,
it looks like a neck to me, the way he toppled.
Phil, play the video again. I just want to see, because, I mean, you can't really see his face, so we're not, you know. But
no, it's from quite far away.
YouTube.com/at1210WPHD. Look, wow.
Well,
look,
you know what? Go back to the beginning. What? I want you to, you're going to have a very keen eye for this.
Uh-oh.
Watch the first second. I want you to stare up at where he falls over. It almost looks like he jumped.
No, it looked, you're right. It doesn't look like he jumped, but I believe it looks like he may have, like you said, passed out.
I can't tell if he's standing. It almost looks like he shot out of his seat like an excited fan.
Yeah.
Like, go, go, go. And then whoop. You just watch. If we could do it without the audio, just watch that first second. It's like the seat catapulted him out of his thing. Like he was, whoop, look at that, boom. You see the way he just
and he looks like he landed right on his neck.
Yeah, well, that's why it's such a serious issue. That's not going to kill you if you just land on your feet or your chest.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to be messed up, but.
Well, that's the thing. Was he already kind of, not lifeless, but if he passed out.
Yeah, and you know, you can't brace for it.
So you're like, if you're conscious or you're, you know, in sound mind, you can kind of like, you know, adjust your body as
brace for impact.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, reflex.
Yep.
So that one does not look good. We also have Kyiv and Washington, the United States, signing that deal finally to give the U.S. preferential access to new Ukrainian minerals deals and fund investments during Ukraine's reconstruction. So this is a big deal because Ukraine is sitting on one of Europe's largest deposits of critical minerals, and that remains largely untapped. So we're talking about lithium, and we're talking about titanium.
Well, that's right, yeah. That was a big story a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about what exactly we need from them.
And then I was looking at the map, and because they talked about Russia is still on the move, even though Monday or Tuesday, Putin had said they were looking at a ceasefire and they would agree to it. But we have the word that Russian forces are still moving on the eastern point part of Ukraine, I was looking at the map of where these most precious and coveted Ukrainian minerals are. And it's right. Coincidentally, it's right in the same part where Russia, you know, moved their troops. So,
everybody wants the minerals,
what
right?
What a coincidence.
I love how Terry Moran says to Trump in that ABC interview, do you trust Putin? And Trump's response is, I don't trust you.
Yeah, Terry Moran is getting, you know, he is just getting panned.
He's
from,
getting
for
hammered
that
by a lot of people.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was painful.
Yeah, we were all over that yesterday.
Yikes. And then I am on the cut sheet. I know we'll talk about the cabinet meeting yesterday.
Oh, you mean where they all kissed his ass for 35 minutes?
Oh, was it the round
table?
It was disgusting.
Was it the weekly conference room meeting?
Oh, President, everything you've done has been, what did Pam Bondi say? He saved a billion lives or something like that with his, it's like, oh God.
Is this how the Odyssey brand manager meeting goes?
No.
Do you guys all like, you know, stroke
not.
Each other?
They all
no,
kiss Greg Stocker's tushy.
Rod,
you're great. No, Christina, you are great. Ugh. And then Skopinich comes in and says, you all suck.
It's true.
It was what I noted from that cabinet meeting was how relaxed, how friendly they are to one another. They're very relaxed. There's a wonderful camaraderie.
I do like the transparency.
Yeah.
I don't need the tug jobs for everybody. But, you know, I do like the fact that we have everybody in there kind of going through. You know what it is? It's that, remember when Elon sent out the email, tell us what you accomplished for the week? That's the vibe I get for that meeting, which I think is great because you need accountability.
I will say,
agreed. And I've said that multiple times about these things. I can do without the over the top praising.
Yeah, the stroking.
It's like Kim right. Jong Un.
Yeah. Well, it's a production. They know the cameras are in there.
I will say, I wasn't going to say this, but I'm going to say this. The vice president pulled a Nick Cale.
Well, that's me and JD are, you know, we have a lot.
You and
in common.
JD Vance.
Beards, college football.
And what else do you have in common?
We both despise single childless cat ladies.
And what else?
I don't know.
Nick Cale and J.D. Vance. Hmm.
Beards, college football, and I don't know.
You're both born, he's like 2 years younger than you, maybe.
Oh, is he a January baby? Is he a Capricorn?
He's 80, what was he? He's around your age. I think he's 2 years younger.
Yeah, I actually think he is younger. You're right. I think he was 39 a year. Yeah, I'm about a year older than J.D.
But you know how Nick Cale loves to talk about in his lifetime? Like, that's what you, right?
Right.
So he pulls a Nick Cale, and he does this. I should send this audio to Greg. And he goes, like, I'm looking around, and no offense to anybody, but I'm the youngest. Mm-hmm. I'm the youngest one here, or something like that. And he talks about in his lifetime.
Yeah, we all have frame of reference, right?
And so he talks about what happened in his lifetime. When he said it, I was like, what is it about people born in the 80s? Mm-hmm. Everything is, you know what I mean?
That's right.
So I did think of you when I was watching that.
We are actually the last great generation. Anything after 84...
So that was fun.
Here's just a little sampling of what I'm talking about.
Okay, here we go. You smell great, sir. What perfume are you?
Would do, and Mr. President, it's been an honor to be part of it for the past 100 days.
Mr. President, the last 4 years, the world experienced a total lack of zero leadership under Biden, and then we've had 100 days of your leadership with respect, with strength.
President, your first 100 days has far exceeded that of any other president in this country.
Yeah.
Ever. Never seen anything like it.
Trump, I want to have your babies.
In your first term, when I had a chance to work with you as governor, you were courageous. The thing that's empowering this amazing group of people around this table, and you've probably assembled the greatest cabinet ever, is that this time you're not just courageous, you're actually fearless.
Oh, God. Now, both of you two objective journalists here, if this was Biden, you guys would
I agree with you.
You guys would have been all over this.
Like I said, I love the transparency, but I do not
I'm
need...
I'm getting ripped now.
I do not need the, you're the greatest thing since sliced bread.
I'm getting ripped now on YouTube.
Sure. Right?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, if it were Biden, he would say, like, who's the president? He's a great guy. Where am I?
Where's Jackie?
Which I know, it's sad.
Yeah,
but and they still won't admit that they all knew.
Bondi is just really, and now the females will say I'm singling out the lady there. But Bondi's just over the top. One of the biggest disappointments, I gave you the grade yesterday, my B+, first 100 days. I pointed out all the positives, and I named a few negatives. Pam Bondi, just stop. God, just go back to Florida already. Where's the Epstein files at? Until then, no more gas bagging, Pam.
Well, doesn't it strike you, though, that, you know, supposedly that the media is saying, oh, they're in trouble. These individuals don't seem worried at all to me.
Nor should they be. I wouldn't be worried if I was any of them.
So that's what I didn't think what Greg is saying. I did send you the J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance, after you played that, I realized J.D. Vance had probably one of the best comments because at least he was giving some kind of a perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't bashing, let's say, the previous administration. He was just kind of looking at, you know, the last 40 years, where we were and where we've gone.
Yeah.
And so I thought that perspective was interesting.
I think JD always has a great perspective.
Yeah.
His measured, calculated takes. And you know what? He really opened up a little bit in that podcast setting when he was wearing the ball cap. Was he drinking a beer or an energy drink or whatever? Like, yeah, he showed to me that he's got a personal side that I think people can relate to, where he's not trying to be Trump. He's not trying to be something he's not. But you saw what he is when he's not all buttoned up.
That's so true. I think we're still in news. I forgot that we were in news.
So
Joseph Anthony Retreat, we're going
to
take a little spa day soon. Joseph Anthony Retreat Spa and Salon, really the secret to spoiling the moms in your life this spring, now with three locations, Glen Mills, Springfield, Center City, Lowe's Hotel. Visit in person or online, josephanthony.com, where gift cards are always available.
By the way,
josephanthony.com.
By the way, Bob, you can have unity without butt kissing. All right? Like seriously. Like, you can have unity and be like, hey, we're doing this. We're really knocking this out of the park. We're doing this. Like, all this whataboutism from everybody is just, it's like, well, what about this? Well, what about this? Focus on what we're talking about now. Well, what about this? Well, what about this?
Will that make you happy, Fred?
The last administration was a disaster. Yes, it was, 100%. And they should have done this.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a pudding brain president who couldn't do this.
Yeah.
But I still don't like the...
Hello.
I still don't like the oh, everything you're doing is wonderful. Yes, sir. Everything you're doing is wonderful. Wonderful, 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 wonderful. Thank you.
They love their boss.
Okay.
You know?
I expect that from you too. Let's have a day where we just sit around and praise what a great job I'm doing with this radio station.
I always praise you.
Can you imagine?
I give you all the credit.
All these people.
I love everything that you have done, sir. I got to tell you, your idea to go live and local from 6A to 7P was just tremendous. You brought in a very talented morning radio guy. You got rid of Sean Hannity in afternoons and put in Rich Zioli, which the audience loved. Then you added Jimmy Fallon and got rid of Mark Levin. Tremendous job out of Greg Stocker.
Thank you.
And then the addition of Walter Sterling, plus Penn State football, and all the live and local stuff on the weekend, including Kathy Barnett, Saturdays at 10 o'clock.
Woo!
Tremendous job.
Thank you.
Tremendous.
Keep it up, sir.
Thank you.
Love you, Greg.
Yeah, thank you. Now, all the people yelling at me on YouTube, how long would you stay tuned for that if they just sat there and kissed my butt for 20 minutes? Everybody would tune out.
Yep, and then Greg would be looking at the ratings and be like,
where are you? Hello? All right, we have to break.
Kale and Company, Belichick versus CBS and deceptive editing practices. It's next.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Stay there.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Belichick's daughter-in-law throwing some shade at Jordan Hudson, his girlfriend 49 years younger, as the CBS interview drama grows, and now also reports that Belichick's girlfriend, Jordan Hudson, since dating Bill Belichick has now have acquired $8 million worth of property in her investment portfolio. You can read these stories at Realtor.com and NewYorkPost.com. But I actually want to get into this CBS angle, because we played you this on, I think this was on Monday's cut sheet when Tony was in for Dawn. So now Belichick has come out and he's issued a statement, and I just want to read this. CBS also with their own response to Belichick's response. Belichick ripped CBS Sports and CBS News for selectively editing his interview over the weekend to make his girlfriend Jordan Hudson look bad. Belichick is suggesting that CBS set him up after previously agreed upon conditions were, quote, not honored. Belichick says the following: I agreed to speak with CBS Sunday morning to promote my new book, The Art of Winning, Lessons from My Life in Football. Prior to this interview, I clearly communicated with my publicist at Simon & Schuster that any promotional interviews I participated in would agree to focus solely on the contents of the book. Unfortunately, that expectation was not honored during the interview. I was surprised when unrelated topics were introduced, and I repeatedly expressed to the reporter, Tony Dokapul, and the producers that I preferred to keep the conversation centered on the book. After this occurred several times, Jordan, with whom I share both a personal and professional relationship, stepped in to reiterate that point to help refocus the discussion. She was not deflecting any specific questioning or topic, but simply doing her job to ensure the interview stayed on track. Some of the clips make it appear as though we were avoiding the question on how we met, but we have been open about the fact that Jordan and I met on a flight to Palm Beach in 2021. The final 8-minute segment does not reflect the productive 35-minute conversation we had, which covered a wide range of topics related to my career. Instead, it presents selectively edited clips and stills from just a few minutes of the interview to suggest a false narrative that Jordan was attempting to control the conversation, which is simply not true. That is Belichick's statement, to which CBS responded, and Phil has this graphic on YouTube. CBS News, a spokesperson says, when we agreed to speak with Mr. Belichick, it was for a wide-ranging interview. There were no preconditions or limitations to this conversation. This was confirmed repeatedly with his publisher before the interview took place and after it was completed. So somebody's lying here. The publicist seems to be in the middle of it, and I'm assuming there are emails or texts or some sort of communication that will highlight the parameters of what was on board and what was off the table, so to speak. But I got to say, I know a lot of people are bringing up the female angle. Oh, she's 49. She doesn't like him. There's no way she could be attracted to him. She's a gold digger. I would say Belichick looks really bad from the standpoint of, dude, you fell off the map without Tom Brady, right? Then Brady wins a championship without you. You get fired. You go to North Carolina to become a head coach. And now you have a girlfriend that is kind of has you wrapped around her finger. This is, I think, a bad look for Belichick, but the crux of this case here to me is, again, CBS and Paramount, once again, at the center of a controversy with editorial control, with, remember the CBS story with 60 Minutes, with Bill Owens, the producer. Apparently, the claims are the suit said, hey, you got to dial back a lot of this left-wing, hyper-political stuff. Although they still apparently get good ratings, he basically leaves the company. And this is fresh off of the suit where CBS and Paramount, I believe, Dawn, you had it right. They're settling with the Trump administration.
Yes.
So again, it's this. Now, you take us into this. 8 minutes that airs, 35 minutes is the total duration of the conversation. We know the girlfriend angle is the super juicy thing that everybody is talking about on social media. That's the clickbait angle. Are they, what is the standard, and where do they draw the line where you could be held liable for painting an image or a narrative that's not true? Because again, we do realize that it is a 35-minute conversation, and not all 35 minutes raw are going to make the final cut on television. So what who's in the right, who's in the wrong here when we talk about Trump and Kamala and that claim versus this? Because to me, it falls under the same category. CBS is trying to put out an image that perhaps is not the true story.
Well, and by the way, Page Six has a story that she has a ring on her left ring finger. Are they engaged? So those rumors are swirling. But I will say, you know, the issue is not that she's in her 20s and that they have this 49-year age difference. The issue is not any of that. The issue is, to me, that he's saying that they took these clips and did not even give a perspective of the true nature of the entire interview.
Mm-hmm.
And so it sounds to me like he understood from his publicist, and by the way, the publicist might be on the hook here, might be the problem as well.
And Simon & Schuster is a big-time firm.
So did his publicist, specifically who works for Simon & Schuster, did they give him the impression, oh, yeah, this is just going to be all about your career and all about your book?
Mm-hmm.
And if they told him that, then that's the publicist's problem.
Yeah.
So I actually believe CBS News when they say we never agreed to that. That kind of thing does happen.
Okay.
I mean, that will happen, that you have the, you know, between the publicist and so on and so on. But I will also say, come on, Bill. You've been in the business a very long time. For him to say, as if he's naive, as if he's never been around the media.
Right.
He hated the media.
Oh,
you know,
of course.
Remember him, Mr. Grumpy Pants?
Yep.
You know, in all those news conferences, even though the Patriots were such a winning team. So, come on. You weren't born yesterday. You know that it's, if you're on a set with somebody, of course they're going to ask about other things.
Yeah. I hate, and I get it because of time constraints, but, and this is on both sides, whether it's mainstream media or social media alternative news, like the deceptive editing of clips out of context for the sake of enraging a base or infuriating your side or antagonizing. It's so petulant. And I think we're going to kind of enter into this space of even those that live on social media that are clip grabbers, they're going to be facing liability suits, defamation and slander. Like yesterday, there was this clip from the Michelle Obama podcast where every right winger that clips all day long for clicks grabbed the clip of Michelle Obama where she said the word man, and then they were running with it that, oh my God, Michelle Obama admitted she's a man. And then somebody on Community Notes said that it was completely taken out of context. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking at some of these people that do this for their living, and I'm like, this is what you have on a Wednesday, taking 8 seconds of a Michelle Obama clip where if you would have played the full 16 seconds, you would have realized she was not admitting. This whole thing of the right thinking that Michelle Obama is a man is so played out. So whether it's
funny, though.
It is funny. Yeah, and I like to call her Big Mike. But like, dude, seriously?
The Big Mike thing is funny. Like,
you know what? These people that say they're for the cause on the right, they don't do the cause for the right any justice. They just look like ass hats.
Yeah.
I'm so tired of them. Get a life. You sit at your keyboard all day and pull videos of other people's content for a living. Oh, my God. Get out and get some sun, you dork.
I will say, Michelle Obama, like a lot of people lately, she looks like she's lost drastic amounts of weight.
Yeah, it's because she's probably getting divorced from Barry.
Dun, dun, dun.
There you go. Let me grab a quick call before we get to the cut sheet. How about this? All the way in Jacksonville, Florida.
Woo-hoo.
Michael. Hello, Michael.
Hey, how you doing? The reason why I'm calling is they wouldn't let this issue end regarding the situation with the MS-13 member. Now, yesterday they had Trump on the news, and he's sitting there going back and forth saying the guy's MS-13. They're saying, well, we don't know that. And then I was watching Fox News, and they were bringing it up again that the Democrats are not letting this go. What I'm thinking the best way for this to be handled is Trump needs to have Caspitar or Palm Bandy send somebody down there and say, listen, we know you're MS-13. We want you to admit that you're MS-13, and we want you to cooperate with us, because there were several times that the police interviewed him regarding crimes that were committed by MS-13. This is a way, if they get him back here, it's going to look like a loss for Trump. If he stays there, it's going to look like a loss for them. Let's go ahead and take their victory from them. Let's go ahead and have someone go down there from the Justice Department, say, look, we know you're MS-13, tell us everything you know, and we'll grant you immunity, because at that point, you'll be obligated to get it because you're helping us. That way they could dismantle this organization in front of everybody, and Trump can say, see, I told you so. I'm hoping that somebody in our government will hear this phone call and come up with this idea that they need to get there, get this dude to admit that he's MS-13, and get all the dirt they can. If they were to do this, this would be a win for Trump. This would be a way of him saying, see, I told you so. And at the end of the day, we can get this dude without having to go through all this. Is he coming back? All right, you're going to work for us, and you're going to tell us everything we need to know. Likewise, they can also say that he could, if they wanted to, they could get into everything, even with everything that he said to his wife. I'm just hoping that somebody would look at this as an advantage to dismantle this organization and to verify that this man is an MS-13 member and that Trump was right.
Well, I can tell you this, and thank you so much for the call, Michael, all the way from Jacksonville. He's probably listening on the Odyssey app. The Trump administration streams Kalen Company on the Odyssey app throughout the White House.
Yeah.
It's on all the speakers. So they hear everything, and they heard your call. You're making it sound like, though, that Trump, at least in the mainstream, like this is a loss for the Trump administration. There's countless evidence that already proves he's MS-13. They're not going to do that, nor do I think they should, nor would I advise them to do. I don't think they have to do anything. I would let the Democrats continue to die on this hill.
I agree.
They're the ones that look like buffoons in this.
100%. 100%. And we played that clip 20 minutes ago of the DEA guy saying yes, no, those tattoos. Why else would he have those four symbols on his finger?
It's like saying it's like putting a Temple University bumper sticker on the back of your vehicle. And you're like, well, I don't really know if he supports Temple or went to Temple. Why else would you have a Temple sticker on your on your bumper?
Just take the MS-13, you know, the symbols out of it. Why else would you have a marijuana leaf, a clown, a cross, and something else tattooed on your fingers if there wasn't some meaning behind it?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
I know people get stupid tattoos all the time.
Sure.
That mean nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Or Chinese symbols that they think mean something but actually mean something else. But there's no other reason to get those tattoos on your fingers unless there was some sort of a meaning behind it.
I totally agree.
People are so dumb about this.
I totally agree.
And actually, the Trump administration, by photoshopping the MS-13 in there, I think they did themselves a disservice by that, because now that's being discussed instead of what the actual symbols mean.
Right.
I disagree with that. I think what they're doing was to kind of explain it in layman's terms what each symbol meant by putting each letter and number above
it.
Because most of us, like I said, just looking at that guy's knuckles, I have no idea what that means, but now that's like the translation, so to speak, they basically put subtitles above it, what they did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I can't kill him for that. I think that was a smart move.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Let's get to a Thursday edition of What's on the Cut Sheet.
What's on the Cut Sheet?
What's on the Cut Sheet on this Thursday? By the way, Nick Kale, you are correct. Put up the screen grab. Kamala Harris charging $25 to watch her talk. For the diehard Kamala Harris supporters out there, the Emerge America Gala is also offering a general admission tickets for $250, as well as various sponsorships that go all the way up to $50,000.
$50,000.
There you go. It's being reported by the New York Post and all these things. Mm-hmm. So $25 to stream this S show.
Yep.
That was the Kamala Harris speech last night. So, Phil, let's give them a little sample of what $25 bought them yesterday. What $25 bought them yesterday. No. Nope. That's not 43.
So, $25 to stream it from your device.
Yep.
$250 gets you in the door.
32.
And if you're a big-time donor, you could sponsor whatever the hell's going on at this gala for 50 large.
Yep. Here's what you got for $25.
In fact, please allow me, friends, to digress for a moment.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Okay.
It's kind of dark in here, but I'm asking a show of hands. Who saw that video from a couple of weeks ago? The one of the elephants at the San Diego Zoo during the earthquake?
I'll have what she's having.
Google it if you've not seen it. So that scene has been on my mind. Everybody's asking me, what you've been thinking about these days? Well...
She's the drunk at the party.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Did you guys see this video of the elephant at the zoo?
And if you haven't seen the elephant at the zoo, here's what you would do right from Kamala's mouth.
Just look up the Google.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
I swear she's on some kind of medication or maybe medical marijuana or whatever. The gummies.
I'll be honest. I have missed her. I miss her. I miss Joe. I miss the binder.
Well, I'm gonna give her a little bit to wake up, but I'm gonna text our gal Esty and see if she wants to come on tomorrow.
Oh, beautiful!
And review the first speech that Kamala has given since she lost. but yeah, what a speech that was. Huh?
I mean, that didn't start until about 8:15 Pacific time. I mean, I was in a 11:15 here. I'm in a coma.
Yeah. Well, they're saying that she's running for governor of California, right?
And and presumably the favorite. Can you imagine going from Gavin Newsom to Kamala Harris?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're going to have to start talking about these transitions in blue states, blue cities, and ranking going from bad to worse. At least in Philadelphia, you could argue. I mean, it's a tough argument, but you could argue Sherelle Parker is like this much better. Chicago goes from lightweight to Brandon Johnson on a mayor level, and then you're going to go from Gavin Newsom to Kamala. California, you get what you vote for, man. I don't feel bad for you.
JK13 on the YouTube chat says you should invite Esty to happy hour next week.
She will drink the place dry. She'll give me a run for my money.
The way, the happy hour before Politics and Pints will be at the Great American Pub in Phoenixville, right down the street from the Colonial Theater, where we'll do Politics and Pints starting at 7:30. Richie will be broadcasting there starting at 3 p.m. And stop by at the Great American Pub. There'll be Miller Lite specials, so make sure you're there for Politics and Pints. 34 here, Phil. So before the speech, she did did an interview with some influencer. I'm not sure who this is, but he teaches her how to do the boots on the ground dance. Do you guys know what that is?
The boots on the ground. Is this the thing that she was stomping along with in that little parade?
Yeah,
was clapping.
I'm so, like, I'm going to show my age here. I'm so old. I have no idea what the boots on the ground march is, but she does it.
It's like the wheels on the bus.
Roll it.
How are you doing, Madam Vice President?
I am well, my dear. I am well. Thank you for asking.
So, how are you in this moment maintaining your Black joy?
Listen, I feel very blessed. I have an incredible husband who's here right now. Hey, Doug.
Can we just pause that here? It goes back to what I was talking about in the big take. How are you maintaining your Black joy? Well, I'm married to a white man. It's amazing to me that everybody that demonizes being a white man in politics on the left is married to said white man.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that?
Uh-huh.
I mean, I got to go back and find the graphic. There's at least 7 or 8 highly recognizable Democrats that are female, that are married to white men, when saying toxic masculinity and the straight white man is the root of evil in America.
Yep.
Weird how that works, but okay.
It really is.
Yep.
All right, keep going.
Family. And I think it's just important to be with, you know, those people who love you and care about you and get you.
Have you learned the boots on the ground dance yet?
Oh, boy.
I have not. I you know what? I know. Will you teach me?
I will.
Okay, I'm serious. We can do it together.
You're serious?
I'm very serious.
Okay, we will get this after that.
Okay.
All right, sway. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Now cross. All right.
Do either of you have any idea what this is?
Is that a yes. Is that a TikTok trend, or what is that?
It's it was from, I think, a soul artist, 803 Fresh.
803 Fresh.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
As opposed to what? 610 Stale? 803 Fresh. All right.
T-Base asks a great question. Is this Black joy? I guess it is.
I guess. Look, Kamala, remember, Kamala, Michelle, They were both very, very hell-bent post November 5th that they were going to go and find their safe space and find their peace and decompress after the loss.
Dave in South Carolina says, "Thank you, Donald Trump, for saving us from this."
What would you rather watch? The Trump boogie to the YMCA or Kamala with boots on the ground? And can Ron DeSantis do boots on the ground while he's wearing elevated boots?
Oh, my God.
We should get a political dance party.
She knows she's a walking, talking meme, right? Or does she not know that?
No, I don't think she knows that.
Yeah, no, I think she's aware.
Do you think she's aware?
I think these people are very cognizant of their criticism, their critique.
But we're right in the fact that she's like the drunk at the party that has to comment on everything, and you're just like, it's like that. It's like that elephant at the zoo. You're like, oh God, what? Who invited her?
But I,
she has two glasses of Chardonnay, and she's.
I'll be right back. I'm going to the punch bowl.
But think about what you're saying. If Kamala Harris is aware that, you know, I love Venn diagrams and I love, like, think of all of her, I love electric buses, all that stuff. She wouldn't do this.
Yeah.
So I swear to you, I believe she's on something, some kind of, it could be a prescription or prescription medical marijuana or gummies or whatever she's on.
I love Venn diagrams.
Yeah. Because it's that thick speech that people have, like you're saying.
Yeah. But I think the cringe that we get from her, all of the stuff that we mock, I think that's authentically her.
Yeah, agreed. Mm-hmm.
That is not an act.
Yep.
So I think she is aware of that, and she's not changing because she says, well, that's who I am. The act, the fake stuff is the accent, adoptions where she's going from speaking in one dialect to the next, to speaking Hispanic with an accent, to speaking South Carolina when she's down in the South. That's the fake stuff.
By the way, we very rarely do this, but I need 90 seconds to play two ads and then we'll return right away.
All right. Kale and Company, cut sheet rolls on after this.
Trent's latest dumb idea, equity pricing. So now your monthly electric bill is based on how much money you make, not on how much electricity you use? Who does that? I'm Jack Cittarelli. When I'm governor, the days of Trenton Democrats raising taxes, wasting our money, and ruining our state are over. I'll root out waste and corruption to cut spending. We'll cap property taxes for families and freeze them for seniors. And I'll end Murphy's radical energy agenda that's driving up our electric bills.
Paid for by Cittarelli for Governor, Inc. PO Box 225, Annandale, New Jersey.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now. 800-575-6481. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS. Generous programs are now available that can give you a fresh start. Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems. We have over 1,000 five-star reviews on Google and an A-plus with the Better Business Bureau. You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-575-6481. That's 800-575-6481. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
As a business owner, you wear a lot of hats. One minute you're ordering today's inventory, and the next you're planning tomorrow's expansion. It's complicated, but your business credit card should be simple. With the Signify Business Cash Card by Wells Fargo, you earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases for your business, with no caps or categories to track. Signify Business Cash, the deliberately simple business credit card. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/signify. Terms apply.
Calling on Huntington Valley to follow Talk Radio 1210 WPHT on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
Kale and Company, 8 o'clock, as we continue with the cut sheet, and due to time constraints, we move ahead in the program.
Very nice. By the way, she continues with Kamala Harris continues with the speechifying. $25 would have gotten you this. Cut 33. Go.
We are not going to scatter. We are going to stand together, everyone a leader, and emerge. You have a special role to play. Organizing is as important as ever. Mobilizing is as important as ever. Running for office is as important as ever. So please, everyone here, please keep doing what you are doing. And to everyone, let's lock it in.
Here it comes. Uh-oh.
Lock it in. Gear up for the hard work ahead. And please, always remember, this country is ours. It doesn't belong to whoever is in the White House. It belongs to you. It belongs to us. It belongs to we, the people. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank
God
you.
Bless America.
Thank you.
My daughters have fifth grade graduation coming up Tuesday, June 10th. If I had to sit through, I wouldn't be impressed if Kamala was the fifth grade Bluebell Elementary School commencement speaker. That is just, we need to organize. Have you heard now the new buzzword? Mobilize. You hear that? Mobilize. Yeah. Who said mobilize yesterday in a more aggressive manner? Jelly Belly Pritzker. Mobilize. Pay attention to that buzzword. It's in the talking points, folks.
By the way, speaking of Jiggly Belly or Jelly Belly Pritzker, we have a special guest who will introduce Nick Kale, Dawn Stenslin, Dom Giordano, Rich Zeoli on Tuesday, May 6th at the Colonial Theater for Politics and Pints. We have a special guest who will bring you on stage.
Sure.
You have to buy tickets. You have to buy tickets.
Nice.
You have to buy tickets right now at 1210 WPHT to find out who that special guest is.
Okay.
Who will bring you guys up on stage.
Nice.
Any
surprise guests?
Surprise guests. Yeah.
Sure.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
There was a town hall last night with Stephen A. Smith, Chris Cuomo, Bill O'Reilly, and President Donald Trump called in.
Well, how about that? A conservative, a self-professed moderate, and a liberal. Okay.
So they each asked pretty good questions. Let's start with 36. This is Bill O'Reilly asking Trump about the new polling numbers that have come out that are not very favorable to Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. Roll this.
So a series of rough polls this week. And I'm wondering how you process that. Does it hurt your feelings when you see numbers come in?
Can I say one thing?
And that are not-
we'll start this off in a second. But Bill O'Reilly does not look good.
Well, how old is he?
I don't know.
What's he, 80?
I don't know how old he is. It doesn't matter how old he is. We just saw 80-year-olds compete in the Penn Relay races.
Yeah. Yes.
You know what I mean? So, like...
let me see how old... I'll tell you what, he doesn't... And maybe I don't see pictures and
actually,
video.
Actually, he's 75.
Dude, it's a rough 75, guys.
Yeah,
it's
so
a rough
he
75.
He,
I don't know. Maybe
he
I'm
does
just
not look. He,
no,
I've
maybe I just accept my own mortality as most male Kales do. It then we drop dead early. But I mean, isn't that what 75 supposed to look
no!
like?
No,
no,
no. What is wrong with you?
I don't know. If I looked at Bill O'Reilly, he said I'm like okay 75. You know, it's not like he was. I mean, Tim Walz is 60.
Oh.
You know, Tim Walz looks like he's 80.
Yeah.
And Tim Walz, think about that. He's 60.
Yeah.
He looks like he's been on the bottle for 3 decades.
A 77-year-old woman just ran the Boston Marathon.
Yeah.
And when you see pictures of her, but the whole story is about, you know, that everybody ages differently. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's your heredity, but also there's so much that you can do, especially staying fit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know,
well, Bill looks like he's he hasn't put on any weight. He looks like
no.
180 pounds.
I don't mean that. I just mean I don't know.
Yeah, I mean the hair's gray, a little bit of a receding hairline.
Let's. He's always had that though. Yeah. Even you remember that Inside Edition? We'll do it live. Video. He had that really bad comb over.
Yeah, of course. Don't write it. We'll do it live. That's why I grabbed Tucker Mockingham.
It. We'll do it live. All right, roll. Can actually start this over, Phil.
Let's hear from Bill.
There we go.
So, a series of rough polls this week, and I'm wondering how you process that. Does it hurt your feelings when you see numbers come in that are not what you'd like them to be?
Well, first of all, they're fake polls. And if you take a look at the polls, they interviewed more, and for the most part, they interviewed more Democrats than they did Republicans, which is ridiculous and unfair. And Democrats aren't voting for Trump. And you look at them, John McLaughlin, who's the most respected pollster, said I'm at 50, 55, and maybe even higher than that. And he said that these polls are largely fake. When you look at the New York Times, when you look at the Washington Post, ABC, they predicted I was going to lose Wisconsin by 17 points, and I ended up winning Wisconsin. They predicted I was going to lose the election, and I ended up winning the election. They're fake polls, number one. And I think it's a very important thing to know that and to understand it. And because polls are no different than fake writers or journalism, and it's not a pretty thing when you watch. So when you say, am I bothered by it? If I was, I'd be really helped by the fact that in the election, we won in a landslide. We won the popular vote. We won the swing states. We won the districts 2,750 to about 505. And the election took place just a short while ago, November 5th. I think it was.
Well, what's different now, Mr. President?
There you go. You know, you can forget what Bill O'Reilly looks like. Forget your thoughts and opinions on polls. My observation from that clip is, does it hurt your feelings? Really, Bill? Does it hurt his feelings? The guy got shot in the ear. You think he gives a damn about feelings for polls? This is a guy in his second term that just made perhaps the greatest comeback of all time in American political history. Does it hurt your feelings?
It was a bad question.
What a terrible question.
It was a bad question.
I'd be like,
question.
No, it doesn't hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
If you think I'm polling at 48% or 56% or 39% in a blue state or 72% in a deep red state, I couldn't give a damn about the feelings of polls. I've got a mandate from the American public. This is what the people want me to do, and I'm implementing it. I've got the ball rolling. Some things have gone better than others, but I'm doing exactly what I said I would do. So I don't really think you should be, whether the polls are good or bad for any candidate, there's no way I'm evaluating poll numbers 3 months into a four-year term.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
It is.
Like, I heard somebody on the Five, maybe it was Jessica Tarloff, say that, well, the American people don't like Trump's first 100 days. And like, really?
Where do you get that information?
Where do you get that information? She goes, polls.
Well, it's totally partisan,
well,
too.
I
gave you the PBS NPR polls yesterday, and it was 80 to 90% of Republicans say he's doing a great to a good job, and 80 to 90% of Democrats say he gets a D or an F.
Yeah.
It's totally split partisan.
100%. Yep. 100%. This country is a 50-50, split 50-50, and it always will be.
Yeah.
So, you know.
But that's why it's so critical, the latest stats, when you look at Pennsylvania, for example, and the fact that Hispanics came out big time here in Philadelphia, in the city of Philadelphia, and in places like Hazleton, came out not just for Trump, but for Republicans. That's why I think if you zoom out for a second and you think about all of these different Democrat talking points and Democrat individuals who are in the so-called legacy media saying, oh, black and brown people, you know, you're in danger, this and that. I just think they're doing everything they can to try to get Hispanics and African Americans back because they've lost them.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of polls, I'm going to pivot here to cut 11, Phil. Stephen Miller was on Fox News, and he called them to fire their pollster. It's an amazing clip. Roll this.
It is our opinion that Fox News needs to fire his pollster, and I won't surprise you with that. I don't think you're surprised that I'm saying that.
I'm laughing.
But the Fox News pollster has always been wrong about President Trump. They were the ones that said all summer long that Kamala Harris was going to be the 47th president of the United States. So we don't acknowledge any of that polling.
Whoa. Man. Stephen Miller, you ingrate. Fox employs Laura Trump. Yeah, I show some respect for the network that's, bending over hand over fist for Laura. Fire the bolster.
It's amazing. I don't care what side of the aisle they're on. I love when people go on opposing networks and just blowtorch. It's so entertaining. It's such entertaining content.
But look at John Roberts and how he genuinely chuckles.
Yeah. Agreed.
And that was a great reaction as opposed to Mr. Moron on ABC, you know, who got all weird with Trump the other day. The proper reaction when somebody does that, because they're like trolling you, is just laugh. It's funny.
John Roberts is like, man, I'd love to be in the studio right now with Sandra Smith and not be sitting in this environment.
Yes.
37 here, Phil, on Donald Trump commented on Stephen A. Smith running for president.
Stephen A. Smith may run for president, as you know. Do you have any advice for Stephen A. If he launches the run?
Stephen A. is like covering his...
No, Stephen A. is a good guy. He's a smart guy. I love watching him. He's got great entertainment skills, which is very important. People watch him. You know, a lot of these Democrats I watch, I say they have no chance. I've been pretty good at picking people and picking candidates, and I will tell you, I'd love to see him run.
All right, there you go.
Wow.
I've been trying to tell you people, he's a professional debater, he's an entertainer, he's articulate, he's got a lot of the skills and then some that Obama had that made him a breakthrough candidate. No, I don't think he's ultimately going to run, because I don't think he's leaving $20 million a year on the table at ESPN.
Speaking of which, ESPN is ABC. Why didn't they tap him for that interview instead of Terry Moron?
That's a
great question.
You know?
Yeah. Wow, what a great question.
Especially since he's been very open about his desire to talk more politics and social and culture issues.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think ESPN would have allowed that?
Yeah, to air if it aired on ABC.
Sure.
Yeah, it wouldn't air on ESPN. But it would air on ABC, Channel 6. Yeah,
cool. But you know, Stephen A. would have been, he would be a tough interviewer, but he wouldn't have the same woke agenda.
No.
You know, I think he would ask real questions. I think I would love to see that interview.
I mean, he's been doing tons of interviews on his YouTube show. He's had Candace Owens on. He's had Chris Cuomo. I mean, he's had every newsmaker you can think of in politics on his digital show.
Dawn reported this morning about the raw minerals deal that the U.S. and Ukraine have
raw
struck.
Raw and rare.
They commented on that. I think this was the first time Trump commented on that since the deal happened. Cut 38, I believe it says. Phil, go.
You signed a deal with Ukraine to harvest minerals today.
Yeah.
What were you and Zelensky talking about when you were nose to nose in the Vatican?
I was telling him that it's a very good thing if we can produce a deal that you sign it, because Russia is much bigger and much stronger. Russia is just chugging forward. It's a big, strong country. By the way, not nearly as strong as the United States, because I rebuilt our military in my first term. They gave a lot of it away in Afghanistan, and Afghanistan is one of the reasons we had an incompetent president, grossly incompetent. He should have never been president. But we had a man that didn't know what the hell he was doing. And Afghanistan showed the stupidity of our leader and the weakness of the military. We have a great military. I knocked out ISIS in 3 weeks.
All right, well, you got the deal. You got the deal with Zelensky on the minerals. That means the United States is going to have a presence in Ukraine. Is that going to inhibit Putin, do you think?
Well, it could, but the reason I did that is that we're in for $350 billion or close to it, whereas Europe is only in it for $100 billion.
Right, so we get some of our investment back.
I felt very foolish. You know, they loaned the money, and Biden handed them $350 billion in between cash and military equipment. $350, we got nothing, and I felt very foolish being the head of a country where Europe gets their money back and it's a much smaller amount and we get nothing. So I went to them and said, look, we got to get rare earth. They have great rare earth, meaning certain minerals, materials. They have things that a lot of places don't have. It's a big asset that they have. And we made a deal today where we get, you know, much more in theory than the $350 billion. But I wanted to be protected. I didn't want to be out there and look foolish. And this is not my war. This is Biden's war. I'm just trying to stop it. But the reason I want it stopped is they're losing 5,000 young soldiers every single week on average, Russian and Ukrainian. They're not American, but they're human beings. And it's so sad to see it. So I want to stop the war.
You know what's fascinating about this whole war that's going on? I just want to look at this from a media perspective. When's the last time the media, and I'm talking about the mainstream media, reported on the actual conflict and the war that's going on and the atrocities and the deaths between Russia and Ukraine? Whether that number there from Trump, 5,000 a week, is accurate or not, I feel like it's been multiple years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this thing started, what, February of 2022, so we're now 3 years and 2 months in, 38 months. This war doesn't even make the news cycle from the sheer atrocity standpoint, which is staggering to me. Now, let me just throw out a question to this audience, and Dawn and Greg as well. What do you think happens first? Do you think we have resolution between Russia, Ukraine, or do you think what happens first, we have resolution between the United States and China on the tariffs and the 145%?
Tariffs.
Yeah.
Okay. And I would actually be on board with that, in favor of that happening first, because that's more America first than anything.
Although, I'm looking at the headlines, AP, Reuters, ABC, and the Kyiv Independent.
Kyiv.
So, AP, U.S. and Ukraine, well, this is the mineral wealth deal.
Mm-hmm.
But in Reuters, Kremlin says that Putin is open to Ukraine peace, but warns against rushing a deal. So, I think they're actively trying to get this done, and at least for 30 days, just ceasefire.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
my prediction remains by the end of the spring. So by the time we get to that third week in June, I believe we will have some sort of plan in place.
But I think we're naive to not look at the whole picture with regard to everything's interrelated. You just mentioned China.
Sure.
But China, Russia, the Middle East, we still have, we still have at least 24 alive, hostages who've been held down in a cave somewhere.
And that also
in Israel since
just vanished from the media,
it's
right?
It's unbelievable.
Doesn't
to
even
me.
Get discussed.
543 plus days later.
Mm-hmm.
And these individuals are still, they believe they're hopefully, hope to God, there might be two dozen of those hostages still alive, but we don't even know, in many in rough shape.
Stephen A. Smith asked the question about what's happening on college campuses, including Harvard, where Trump suggests the U.S. may not give more grants to Harvard University. This is cut 42, Phil. Rowan.
President, thank you for your time. It's interesting that you brought up Harvard, because when people think about Harvard, what they're basically talking about is they're asking, what do you say to those who view your actions as an attack on academic freedom rather than a defense of fairness? What do you say to that?
Well, I say this. We had riots in Harlem, in Harlem, and frankly, if you look at what's gone on, and people from Harlem went up and they protested, Stephen, and they protested very strongly against Harvard. They happened to be on my side. I got a very high black vote. You know that. Very, very high black vote. It was a very great compliment to me. I did criminal justice reform. I did opportunity zones for one of the greatest economic deals ever for the black and Hispanic community. I got tremendous. They agree with what I'm doing with respect to Harvard. Harvard gets $4-5 billion a year from the United States mm-hmm. government in the form of grants. And they have $53 billion. And yet they don't treat the people right. They take foreign students. Nobody knows where they come from. And they viciously hate our country. And I'm saying, if we're going to give grant money, we want people in that school that are going to love our country, not people that are going to hate our country. They run a bad operation up there. And we have to get to the bottom of it. On top of that, they said they want to teach their students remedial mathematics. That's basic math. 2 and 2 is 4. And you say, well, Harvard's supposed to be so great. Why do people have to have remedial? That's basic, very simple mathematics. So we're looking into Harvard, but we give them billions of dollars a year. And that may very well stop. And that's up to the president. It's up to our government. We don't have to grant them money. We can grant that money to people that really need it. And frankly, people that you'd rather have me give the money to, Stephen.
So I'm assuming he's now, unless I misinterpreted Stephen A's question, does this have to do with the anti-Semitism on college campuses like Harvard?
Well, yeah, it's because of the anti-Semitism that the Trump administration doesn't want to give grant money to.
Right, and nor should they. I mean, first of all, they're a private institution with an endowment of big gazillions of dollars. The fact that federal funding even goes to these schools is absurd in the first place. But I just wanted to bring up this story in relation to that clip from the Philadelphia Inquirer yesterday. The headline is, have experts correctly calculated anti-Semitic incidents in PA as well as the nation? And they go on to write, but even as experts agree anti-Semitism is on the rise, the new numbers reflect questions about the organization's methodology, that being the ADL, that are being asked nationwide in light of ongoing partisan debates over prejudice, free speech, and Zionism. Nationwide, more than 9,000 reported incidents in 2024, which represented an increase of 893% over the last 10 years. So I know everybody loves to talk about Harvard, but we have an Ivy League school right here in our own backyard. Dawn, you talked about Swarthmore as well with what they're dealing with today. And that Ivy League school here in Philly is Penn. I mean, I gave the offhand comment in the beginning of the show. Well, what is anti-Semitism? And I said, well, it's a lot like the definition that the Supreme Court used in the pornography case that reached SCOTUS. You know it when you see it. You know it when you hear it. If you can't figure out what anti-Semitism is when you see a clip of it, you probably have your head in the sand, right? Like, you can have free speech, but you can't do what Swarthmore is doing, like you said, where they're obstructing people from getting point A to point B. They've been given two warnings. If you get a third warning, I'm assuming security and police are coming, and they're going to escort these people in the encampments out of town.
We will see, because they didn't do that yesterday. They gave them two, locally at Swarthmore.
Yes.
They gave them the two warnings, but they, at my latest look and checkup, they're still there, those protesters, about 30 of them.
And Swarthmore's private, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Did you guys know Chris Cuomo called President Trump after he was shot?
Yes.
Oh, you do know that?
Yeah, I think we might have had some story or clip of that back in the late summer, early fall.
43 here.
To see him run.
All right, there you go. You got one more?
Not me, I like him too much. Mr. President, we're gonna let you go. Thank you very much. I just wanted to ask you something, because I know that for you, legacy matters. You talk about it in-house, you talk about it out-of-house. When you got shot, I reached out through family. I wanted to talk to you, and I wanted to tell you a couple of things. One was that
family.
I hope that you were okay and that your family was dealing with it all right.
Meaning his brother.
And the second one was that I was embarrassed by how it was being covered, as if maybe it didn't happen. And I told my audience that I spoke to you. I didn't talk about the details of the conversation because they didn't matter. But there was a lot of heat that came my way, as if I shouldn't have been making a comfort call to Donald Trump. We're very divided. You know this. You want to be remembered as one of the greatest presidents in America. You know our history. Every president who's considered great was seen as a unifier. What do you need to do to be remembered as someone who could bring this country together?
Well, I think I will be a great unifier. That's what I want to be, and it's very important to me. Hispanic vote, I got the highest Hispanic vote maybe, I think, ever for a Republican candidate. If you look at the border between Mexico and Texas, I won every single border state, and it was all Hispanic vote. I won Miami. I won Florida. I think I am a unifier. I think I have votes that Republicans have never gotten before, and that's why I was able to win the election in such a big fashion. With all of that being said, what I have to do is save the country. The country was going down the tubes. This country was in big trouble. You had a border where millions of people were pouring in from jails, from prisons. They were pouring in at levels from mental institutions, gang members, terrorists, and we're getting them out. You can't have a country with these people there. We had 11,888 murderers. Many of these people killed more than one person. More than 50% of them killed more than one person. We got to get them out of their country. I don't know if that's unity or disunity, but I have no choice. You know, some things you have no choice. But I do remember your call. I appreciate your call. And I actually appreciate your family. I've known your family for a long time. You know that.
Mr. President.
So, first of all, I mean, Chris Cuomo is a big-time weasel. I don't believe anything he says. That being said, I did say in the big take that this is America, and nobody should be ridiculed and shamed because they decided to align themselves with somebody politically. So, once again, even the left, they will devour their own. They will give Chris Cuomo guff because, God forbid, he called Donald Trump after the guy was shot in the ear. But no, they'll embrace everybody. This is why I think that was fake. Was that a shard of glass? Was that really a bullet? Was that staged? Yeah, he staged it. He staged his own execution and moved his head in just a split second so that he could galvanize the country and win re-election. Some of these people are certifiably insane, but I would actually push back, and I know you can bring up presidents in the past, some of our history buffs out there. This whole thing about unifying a country, is anybody going to evaluate Donald Trump right of center on his ability to unite and unify? I'm not, because you can't negotiate with crazy people. These people protest every single thing Trump says or does. So by default, he can't unify even if he wanted to. I'm going to evaluate him based on what he does at the border, what he does with the economy, what he does with global wars, and what he does with everything else on his 20-point agenda. I think this is fictitious, this whole unification thing.
Yeah. I think it's a mirage. But I think Trump, if he makes America great, I mean, if he can fix this, if he can get these tariff deals done, and there are more meetings in D.C. today with more leaders of countries, I think South Korea is today, India this week, and so on. If he can get the tariff trade deals done, and he has talked as well about the taxation and the tax cuts, and then keeping his tax cuts, which are due to expire from his last administration, if he can get that done and fix the economy, then he becomes more popular, right? Because everybody is feeling good and living well. So, yeah, I think he can become that unifier.
I think
his
numbers go up with Republicans. His numbers go up with independents. I don't think his numbers are going to go up with Democrats if he's successful. I really believe it. I mean, a lot of people say it's just a throwaway line. He could cure childhood cancer, and there'd be some Democrats out there that would question it.
Yeah, but I think what he's saying is that there are a lot of Democrats who feel like their party left them. And I think that's when he talks about the fact that he's getting more people who are working class individuals, African Americans, Hispanics, they're all going to, he's widening the tent, if you will.
Yeah.
And the Republican Party is not the same party as it
Agreed.
Was. It's not like this. It used to be, you know, they're trying to portray it as like this wealthy billionaire party. That's not what's going on.
I wholeheartedly agree with that. Bucks County Estate Traders, it is the place to furnish your home and make a statement for a spring with one trip to Bucks County Estate Traders. 58,000 square feet. That's the size of the showroom and inside. Over 16,000 pieces of all high-quality, famous brands, meticulously cared for and curated by their experts. Visit BucksCountyEstateTraders.com or check out their showroom in Hatfield.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.